This is Clark Davis, and I'm speaking with Doug Rosenbinge at his residence, 3670 North Wells. The date is October 11th, 1980, and time is 1:07 p.m. Doug, would you state your full name for me, please?
My full name is Douglas Allen Rosenbinge.
Okay, would you spell your last name, Doug?
R-O-S-E-N-B-I-N-G-E.
Okay, and your age?
26.
Okay, and what's your address, Doug?
3672 North Wells Street.
Okay, 3672 North Wells. And what's your hometown, or where did you spend most of your life?
North Massapequa, Long Island, New York.
Okay, would you spell that for me, please, Massapequa?
M-A-S-S-A-P-E-Q-U-A.
Okay. And what about your education? Did you attend a Lutheran elementary school?
I attended Trinity Evangelical Lutheran School in Hinkleville, Long Island, New York, through the 8th grade.
Okay, and what about a Lutheran high school?
I attended Long Island Lutheran High School up to 72 when I graduated.
Okay. And what colleges did you attend?
Concordia College, Bronxville for 2 years, and then Concordia Senior College for the next 2 years.
Okay. Doug, the nature of this project is to get your reactions about those senior college years, but in order to do that, we'd like to talk a little bit about your junior college experience. How do you feel that, about that experience at Bronxville?
Well, I feel very good about that experience at Bronxville. For me, it wasn't much of a transition from high school because a third of my graduating high school class also went to Bronxville. So in a way, it was slightly advanced high school, at least for the first year.
Okay. Why did you happen to attend Bronxville?
It was close, and its cost was lower than the other schools that I had applied to.
What other colleges did you apply to?
I applied to Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts, and the King's College in Briarcliff Manor, New York.
Were those religiously related schools?
Yes, both are. Both of the others were independent Christian colleges.
Okay. Doug, can you describe the nature of the curriculum and the classes at Bronxville for me?
Generally, Bronxville was a liberal arts institution, and the classes that it offered everyone, at least in the first 2 years, was not too differentiated at that point. And it was generally liberal arts, the standard things like English, science, had some very good science courses, which was my interest at the time, and even a very good arts program, both in music and in other forms of art, including even photography.
Were there any specialized type courses at Bronxville that you can remember?
The only specialized courses, at least for the pre-theology program that I was in, was Greek, that I can remember.
Do you think that this junior college program adequately prepared you for the senior college?
Yes, it did, in some ways, and no in others. I had, along with a number of other students, problems learning Greek and the language at the Bronxville. During my time, that seems to have been a problem among a number of the students. There are a couple notable exceptions, but it seems that most of us did have problems with the foreign languages. But other than that, our preparation was sufficient.
You mentioned that you were in the pre-theology program, and you started the junior college program. Do you remember how many were in your class?
Well, in the beginning, there were quite a few, and at the end, there were quite a few.
Maybe we can expand on that a little bit. In terms of numbers, how many did you wind up graduating with in the pre-theology class?
I think there were only, this is only a guess, a long time ago, I think there were only about 25 guys or less that graduated, that went to the senior college. I don't think there were that, maybe 20 guys.
Okay. And Greek was the number one obstacle.
In my mind, Greek was the number one obstacle.
What was the social life like at Bronxville?
Bronxville had a very active social life. There were quite a few girls on the campus in that respect, and there were a lot of things going on, a lot of activity.
Maybe we should pin down where Bronxville is. Can you give us an idea geographically where Bronxville is?
It's located roughly 12 miles from the center of Manhattan, north, on Highway 22, otherwise known as White Plains Road, a major route heading north.
Okay, so you also had the social life of New York City close at hand.
Oh, yes. A number of us made numerous trips, especially in our second year, once we'd gotten accustomed to the area and learned a little bit about the train and so forth. We went down to New York quite a bit.
Okay. So this served as a background then for your senior college years. Let's talk a little bit about those senior college years. Talk about your first reaction to Fort Wayne and Indiana after coming from Bronxville.
Well, my first reaction was kind of a negative reaction. My family had moved to Florida from New York before I went to the senior college. And before going to Fort Wayne, I took a train up to New York City to visit some friends, and I drove out from New York City with one friend, Ted Relfstab. And we were driving out, and we came to Indiana. It was a Sunday, and there was hardly anyone on the road, on the interstate. And then we approached Fort Wayne. We saw a sign that said, Fort Wayne, the next 5 exits. And for as far as the eye could see, you could just see farms. And that was it. No other cars, no other people, just farms. And Ted turned to me and said, I came to Fort Wayne, and it was closed. Let's go home. That was our first reaction. We went on just to see what the campus was like.
And what year was this that you came to Portland?
Oh, that would be, I guess that'd be the fall of 1974.
Okay. And you came on to see what the campus was like. What was your first impression of the campus?
The campus itself is quite a bit different from the impression that Fort Wayne gives. When you come across Fort Wayne, it's very commercialized and just basically looks like nothing but lights or whatever. But when you come up to our campus, you're struck first by the woods that surround it. It seems to be isolated by the woods apart from Fort Wayne. It's like an island. And as you drive into the campus, the well-treed road on the way in, the main entrance, and the lawns, the large lawns, give a very peaceful look. And the way the buildings rise out of the ground gives a very peaceful setting to the whole campus. It makes them feel at home.
Okay. What about a first reaction to the courses that you were taking? Do you have any recollections of the courses that you took or your first reaction to?
Well, my first reaction was the amount of work that was required from us. It was more than Bronxville. Bronxville was a lot of time to fool around and have a good time, but at the senior college, you got the impression right away that they were serious about what you were doing.
Okay, what about a first reaction concerning the other students or student life? Obviously, there was a big change over Bronxville to what you encountered here at the senior college.
Well, I think part of it, part of the student life was dependent on one fact. We all felt like we were misplaced from wherever we were originally from. I mean, why go to Fort Wayne? That was the big, why are we here? And I think that was one bond that brought most of us together, because most of us never came to Fort Wayne, ever had any intention of going to Fort Wayne, but there was just no other way to get around it. So that's why we were there. And second, we were there for the same reason, to study to become ministers. And we're about the same age. And since we're all in the same boat, had similar interests, it was one great communal family. A lot of fun, a lot of friends, too.
We're going to want to explore that a little bit later. What about your first reaction to the faculty? How did you perceive them?
My first reaction to the faculty was that they were very knowledgeable or competent men. I had little question about the men that I came across and their abilities.
Okay, we're going to want to explore that question, too. Let's take now a back look at some of these things based upon your reflections on the institution now that you've been out of it for a while and now that the institution has been closed for a while. In relationship to the courses, Doug, can you describe for me what you perceive the educational philosophy of the senior college to be?
Well, as I said before, when you first got to senior college you, and attended some classes, you got the idea that they meant business. They were serious about what they were doing. And I think the first thing that they attempted to do was to strip away from an individual any unfounded or Sunday school type of faith, with the idea being not just to leave the person naked without a faith, but now to enable him to, proper tools, to rebuild a biblical faith and to build a strong faith that was capable of weathering the modern world and the modern challenges that people would receive. One must remember that a number of students come from the Midwest or from other areas where perhaps they would not be confronted with, say, the modern problems that one would face, say, humanism or rationalism that we would come across, or even just the plain secularism of the society, say, in the larger cities.
They said that there was a big cross-culture type of thing really going on within the same context of your culture, and this related to... Did this cause some problems in that maybe some of the guys from the Midwest didn't quite understand why this educational philosophy was being undertaken? Did it create any problems in those areas?
Well, I know a couple of students who, and I would say just a couple, I would say these are minorities, but I know a couple who eventually dropped out of the program because they were unable to deal intellectually with what the professors were saying. They were unable to either formulate counterarguments in their own mind, or unable to understand what the guy was driving at, in essence, unable to really react with flexibility.
Okay. Was this educational philosophy anything that was actually written down, or were students just subtly made aware of it through their classes?
Well, I found part of it written in Dr. Wally's book under the objectives of the seminary, of the senior college, was that to build a biblical faith, a strong faith in the student. Now, as far as this particular method or set of objectives to achieve that end, no, I wasn't aware of it at the time that I was there. I came across this at an alumni meeting right before I left. At my last year, they had a joint alumni meeting or something to that effect that I attended. They invited students to come if they wanted to. And I was kind of amazed at the description then of the educational process and how it worked, what they were trying to do. And that was exactly what was happening to me and my thought processes while I was there.
How did the curriculum at the senior college differ from that of the junior college?
It was more specific. It was more, instead of centering on actual experimentation, say in physics or something like that, that wouldn't be offered. There was a little bit of biology, but now we were starting to get into the philosophy behind the sciences and philosophies of thinking in some theologies. Now we're going into, I guess you might say, the abstract world a little deeper.
How did this differ from what you had initially expected?
Well, I didn't come to the senior college with too many expectations. We heard a lot about it, and everybody went there, and so it was just kind of, you go through the next door, and you don't really think about what's going to happen too much. You just don't like where it was.
So the nagging question of the location comes up again. Okay, well, what were some of the educational standards at the junior college, opening at junior college? What about the grading procedures? Were they tough? Were they lax?
I would say the grading generally was tougher. I mean, you have to work for the grades for the most part, especially in my concentration, which was theology. There just seemed to be nothing you could do to get a B, much less an A.
Okay. We alluded to it a little bit before, but what about the reading material that was assigned, the quality and the quantity of the reading material?
Well, the quantity was high, the quality was high, say in my particular concentration. And rather than reading what somebody else had written about Boltman, we had a book that Boltman wrote to read, or any of the other parts. And
in terms of, maybe you could give us an idea of what the average reading assignment for a week would be in something like that.
Oh, I wish I could. I don't remember anymore an accurate figure. But we would discuss, say, in a quarter. We were three quarters. We'd discuss four theologians books, I would say we'd have to read one book by the theologian about every 2 weeks and then write a report on it.
Okay, so you were actually reading the theologian instead of reading about the theologian.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're reading first-hand material written by them. Okay, what about papers or projects? Could you maybe relate something to that? Were they frequent or...
About every course, my recollection had a paper or a project.
Would this be a simple 2-3-page paper? Or
no,
would
they would
paper?
Generally they'd be about 10 to 15 pages. Or for a course, there might be 4 or 5 3-page papers due for about the quarter.
Could you give us a little bit of idea of your class load? What type of courses were you taking? You know, let's just take an average quarter your senior year. How about languages? What languages would you study?
Well, the only language that was offered really at the senior college when I was there was Greek for the most part, because you already, before going to the senior college, were to have passed a German proficiency or another proficiency in another language. Already you were really supposed to have Greek before you got there, but there was more advanced study in Greek, New Testament studies and a couple of specific books.
Okay, what about sciences, social sciences?
Yeah, there was sociology and psychology we taught at the senior college. As far as other sciences, one course which was memorable to me was school was taught by Oscar Wally, which was the philosophy of science,
okay.
Or some a name similar to that.
Okay. What about philosophy per se? Were there philosophy courses?
Yes, there were philosophy courses. I remember a course by Professor Subic, which dealt with, we had other names for the course, but...
Maybe you'd like to share some of those names with us.
Well, no, but there was, when we were, one of the early questions was, what was the essence of anything? And that became to be in Fort Wayne, what is the essence of duck?
Yes, I remember quite well that statement. Doug, what kind of a student were you at the senior college?
Well, I kind of went up and down a little bit. I guess mainly a high-speed student, if you want to put me on an academic spectrum. I could have worked harder. I did work hard. I could have worked harder. I worked awful hard in Greek, but there was, I did take some time to relax.
Okay, good. That's well needed, and that fits right into the next area we're going to talk about, is student life. What do you think you gained as a student by coming to senior college?
Well, I gained a lot of friends, a lot of friends that I've maintained, even though we've gone separate ways. I gained a sense of community. I think we were kind of separated before we came to the senior college. And I think what I gained there was a feeling of community with the other men who were there, or the other students who were there.
Let's kind of explore that a little bit. I know that it was a big reason for the development of the senior college. How did you really perceive the sense of community? What ways was it visible to you?
I don't know if you could call it... Well, I guess you could call it visible. There were certain outcroppings of normal college spirit, such as senior prank day and everything, but these were taken generally with a smile by the administration. And I do remember half gun wars between dorms and things like that, where even very technically evolved rules to how long one was actually dead by what type of shot, and things like this. We had lakings, but all this was in a spirit of fun. I mean, this there was rivalry between the dorms and intramurals and things like that. But at the same time, the sense of community was preserved and maintained and extended, even like with our joint dorm devotions. We would invite other dorms over to join with us in devotions and invite a professor in. So it was really a community.
What about group alliances or factions? Did these things stop up?
Oh, on occasion these things popped up, but I don't think they were very serious for the most part.
Dr. Wally mentioned in his book that, for instance, fellows from Bronxville thought that everything west of the Hudson River was Indian country. Did you find a close knitness between all the Bronxville guys?
Yes, Bronxville seemed to, Bronxville guys seem to stick together a lot more than other guys for some reason. You'd also find Bronxville guys, like, running the snack bar, taking up most of the positions in the library, doing, you know, most of the things, and running student commons or something like that. For some reason, I guess you'd say the positions of power, I guess they gravitated toward. But we all, I had this feeling, too. I had trouble when I first got to Fort Wayne in dealing with the Midwestern people. It just seemed odd being sitting in a place, talking to a person who had no other conception of what an ocean looked like. And of course, growing up on Long Island, I mean, who doesn't know what an ocean looks like?
What about the other schools? Did the other schools have their own little factions or groups, too?
I wouldn't go so far as to call them factions, because there was a great deal of friendship between all these groups. But yeah, the groups, each of the schools primarily had their own clusters. But that generally didn't hold up, say if you came to the cafeteria for lunch. Generally the way things broke up were by the dorms guys were in. Dorms only held about 26 guys. And so these 26 guys would tend to eat together. And during my stay there, it was very popular to buy dorm shirts that would then identify you as a member of your dorm. So while there is cohesiveness between the individual schools where the guys came from before, there was a cohesiveness or even a more of a cohesiveness by the second year between the dorm you lived in.
You mentioned dorm devotions as being one part of the sense of community. What about the rest of the worship life at the senior college? Did that add anything at all to the community?
Well, the worship life did add a lot to the community. For the most part, I think that the chapel services were well attended. I would, by well attended, I'd say perhaps a half to two-thirds of the students at a given time doing regular services would be there, and almost everybody during special things were going on. They added a lot. They gave us different experiences in worship that many of us hadn't had before, coming from our own individual churches where they have their own customs, then meeting all together in one place where other customs might be tried out and experimented with and acquaintances made, helped each of us, I'm very sure.
What about the celebration of the sacraments? Was that on a regular basis?
If I remember correctly, it was every Wednesday. Every Wednesday morning we'd have the Lord's Supper. As a matter of fact, it was kind of a, when the seminary arrived, it was kind of a, if I remember, a sparking between the two groups because they did not want it as regularly as we did.
It did pose problems, too. I think we've pretty well covered this idea of the sense of community. How did the professors fit into this whole sense of community? Did they encourage it?
I think the professors encouraged it because the professors would take a very active interest in each the students that they came across. I've been invited over to professors' houses a couple times, along with many other students which would go to professors' houses. Our resident counselors, which were faculty members who lived in houses adjacent to each of our dorms, there'd be like one counselor and family living in a house that was set off from about four dorms to be the counselor for that village. You'd see him coming through the dorm every once in a while, not so much to check up on everybody, but to say hi and find out what was going on. And so you felt that they were all part of a community together.
Do you ever think that you missed anything by coming to the senior panel?
Well, New York.
I guess that's an obvious miss.
But generally, no. I don't. As far as the academics or as far as personal growth, no, the senior college, I think, was an experience that I wouldn't trade from my perspective now. When I was there at times, I would have traded it rather easily for something else. But now, as I look back, no, I wouldn't have traded it.
What was the social life like at the senior college? Can you describe that?
Well, there were dances that were, I'm assuming that's what you're referring to at this point. If you mean social contacts outside of the senior college that students had, there were generally several groups like Parkview School of Nursing, Lutheran School of Nursing, and a couple other groups which would invite our guys out, and we'd invite them onto the campus for square dances, and we had picnics, festivals, gatherings, get-togethers, all sorts of things that would go on, planned by a very active social committee.
Okay. What about the female students? Did you have female students there when you were there?
When I was there, we had about, I think, only about 40 female students, somewhere between 20 and 40.
Okay. What kind of contribution did they make to the social life of the campus? Or?
Well, they made a good contribution, as much as that they provided a little change of scenery on the campus. And they were very friendly, and a couple of them I counted friends, and even now today I count as friends, that the friendships were made then.
What kind of contributions did they make outside of social life? What about classroom activities and things like that?
Well, as far as classroom activity, I would say that some of them were smarter than most of our guys.
Did that create any real problems in the classroom?
Not to my... Not in the senior college. I didn't notice any real problem between the girls and any of the professors or other students. There may have been, but again, from my limited perspective on that, not that I noticed.
What was can you give me kind of an average age of the student at the senior college when you were there?
I guess that'd be around 20, 23, something like that.
What about any older students? Did you have older students around or married students on campus?
Well, we had married students. A few lived on campus in some of the campus housing. Not in the dorms, there were a couple of apartments available, but a couple lived in. But I myself, the married students to some extent formed almost their own grouping within our campus. When most of us would be going to coffee breaks, they'd be having the married students meeting down at the bottom of the student commons, where most of them would get together. And I could understand that, because being that young and being just married and then being in a senior college situation in the midst of the academic, there was probably a lot of things they needed that cohesiveness, which is with their blood going, starting their family.
So they kind of separated themselves from the rest of the community then? Or did they try to interact with the community?
Oh, they interact with the community. I'm just saying that, like two sets of individuals that come together, they overlap, and there's a joint community, but then they also, like, a single guy didn't go to some of their things that they were doing because, after all, he was single.
Okay.
I mean, I don't mean to say that there were two separate communities. They were two identifiable communities that mingled and worked communities together as well.
Talking about community, what type of social contact did you have in the city of Fort Wayne itself?
Good ones. I found it very easy to get a job. The senior college had a very high name or position among the people here, and that was always expressed to us by the administration of the senior college. And I think it was an effort maintained by those of us who sought work outside to give a good image to the senior college, and that in turn helped others. And it was kind of a joint thing.
Where did you work when you were?
When I was at the senior college, I worked for a short time at a King Buy here. It's a department store. I worked at the Sound Boy. And then afterwards, too, I'd gotten a job at a machine shop, partly because I had the good reference of being from the senior college. Most of the time, however, because I didn't have a car for most of my time while I was here, I worked for the college by working in the library.
What other types of contacts did you have with Fort Wayne? Did you attend any public functions or church and so on? Or?
Well, I attended a number of different churches. Some were in town, some were out of town. Most of the time I attended a church in New Haven, Connecticut. New Haven, Indiana.
Then you feel that the senior college is very well respected in the community of Fort Wayne.
Well, I think it was. I find an interesting thing, if you still look at the city maps, even though they've changed the other roads which have been changed, I don't know whether it's an oversight, but there still is, on the name of the campus, where the seminary now is, it's still 40th Senior College on all the new maps.
So they have
somebody must like them.
Somebody likes us out there. Well, what then would you, could you give us an overall picture of the student life at Smith College? If you were to sum it up in a capsule statement, what would you say?
A living, breathing community of Christian men and women who loved each other would grow from their contact with each other and their perspective.
What about faculty-student relations? Let's explore that a little bit. How close were you to your professors?
Me, for the most part, I was not all that close to many professors. Now, I remember talking to Professor Essays and a couple other professors about personal situations. But